So hi there, good morning and happy Mother's Day. If you didn't know, it is Mother's Day. Before we get started on the sermon, I just wanted to give you a quick update about the Catalyst Amplify course that I'm doing at the moment. So we've done two sessions. It's our online course which runs once a month for 6 months to train and encourage people in the prophetic gift. So I love that in the Bible God promises that he'll pour out his spirit on all people, and we will see visions and dreams, and we will hear God speak to us through prophetic words. And I really want to grow in that, and so that's why I'm doing the course. And I'm hoping at some point soon in the future that we'll gather other like-minded people together, maybe have a group, people who want to grow in the prophetic. We might try and run our own little mini amplified group. Really helpfully, they give us the notes. So that's really good. But for us all to grow in confidence to use the prophetic gift, you know, for the church. So if you'd like to be a part of that group, do let me know, and then I can keep you in the loop when we get started. Okay, so onto the sermon. So we're looking at Jacob's dream at Bethel, and my working title is sort of The God Who Wants Relationship With Us, or God the Promise Keeper. And we're looking today at the account of Jacob, who is running away from a difficult situation at home, which is mostly of his own making. He ends up sleeping under the stars and seeing a vision of angels going up and down the stairway to heaven. And it talks about God meeting us when we're in a difficult place and how God's promises are dependent on him, not us. And how God promises to not abandon us and to be our God. So let's read Genesis 28, verses 10 to 22. I wanted to read it from my reading this new Bible, but it's too complicated with a handheld mic to do that. I've got it here. So Jacob left Beersheba, and he set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. And taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head, and he lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And there above it stood the Lord. And he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you're lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I've done what I've promised you. And when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he'd placed under his head, and he set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. And then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. So, interesting passage. It's an amazing passage, actually. My first part is the point is that God meets us in our isolation and distress. So Jacob is a pretty interesting character. Just for background, Jacob really, really doesn't have a good relationship with his brother Esau. First of all, he kind of tricks Esau into giving him his birthright blessing. And then later on, he tricks his father Isaac and he steals Esau's final blessing from him. So Esau is really not happy. And in Isaac's final days, Esau and Jacob are not doing well. Esau's going around saying, do you know what? I'm going to kill him when Isaac dies. When my dad dies, I'm going to kill him. So Rebecca, their mum, thinks that Jacob should leave. And his dad says, yeah, actually, do you know what? You had better go. This is not a good moment in Jacob's life. This is a rock bottom moment for him. He's the sort of person who's really comfy at home. You know, he likes being at home. He's not really an adventurer. You know, and this guy who would really prefer to stay at home with his mum's home comforts is sent out to go off on his own and to fend for himself. And there's a little bit of a plan. He's going to go back to a place called Padan Aram, which is where his mum comes from. And he's going to go there and join the family that he doesn't know and hopefully get a wife from them. So off he goes. You know, for Jacob, this is not like going off to uni. It's not like going to a new area because he's got a new job. This is him escaping difficulty and possible danger. And there's no strategic game plan here, really. He's just got himself into a real mess. And honestly, he's running away. And he's in fear of his life. So you can just imagine Jacob, can't you? He sets off and he walks all day and he's alone and he's tired and he's worried and he's got a very uncertain future ahead of him. And that first night he travels, it's dark and he gets to a place and there's nowhere to stay. You know, there's nowhere. He's got no hotel. He's got no inn. And I guess he's praying. He has to stop and just sleep outside. He uses a stone as a pillow. And I can tell you, that's not very comfy. Me and my sisters and brothers, we did that one time on the beach. It's really uncomfy. You don't want a stone as a pillow. And, you know, it doesn't say he's praying, but I do think if it was me, I would be praying. I'd be saying, God, oh my goodness, will you look after me? Are you even there? Do you even care? What am I going to do? How am I going to survive? What should I do now? Where should I go? How am I going to do life? And it's at this point of isolation and distress that God breaks into his life in a pretty miraculous way. So there he is, sleeping out under the stars. Do you know, I don't think that's all it's cracked up to be. It's quite cold. Duncan would disagree with me totally. It's cold. You get in a bivy bag, you get condensation, so your sleeping bag gets wet anyway. Anyway, Duncan will go. If you want to do it, Duncan will go sleep under the stars with you. I'm going to stay home. I'll get a tent. You know, I like a tent. But he's under the stars, and he has this incredible dream in verse 12, in which he sees a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and it says the angels of God were ascending and descending on the stairway. And in the dream, he saw the Lord, and the Lord said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac, and I'll give you and your descendants the land on which you're lying. And basically the Lord repeats the blessing that he gave to Abraham, his grandfather. And he says, your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you'll spread out to the west, into the east, to the north, and into the south. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you, and I will watch over you wherever you go, and I'll bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I've done what I've promised you. You know, when I was preparing this sermon, I really felt the Holy Spirit prompting me to say that there's somewhere here and you feel that you're discredited from God's blessing because of your family situation or upbringing and from things that have happened in your past. And God says, you know, that's not true. The blessing is for you too. Jacob's family situation was pretty awful. You know, Jacob did life so badly that his own brother wanted to kill him. That's pretty poor. But the blessing was still for him. And God says the blessing of God is for you too today. God has incredible purposes for your life. And your background and your upbringing or family breakdown don't discredit you. So yeah, my first point was that at Jacob's worst moment, God came to meet him. My second point is that heaven comes down to sinners. You know, the dream is an amazing display of divine grace. And Jacob's definitely not on a pilgrimage or even a prodigal. You know, but God still gave him this incredible dream. And God takes him completely by surprise. He doesn't criticize him. He doesn't tell him off. He's not even making any demands of Jacob. There's only this incredible love and kindness and a kind of stream of assurances and promises. It starts with, I'm the Lord, and then God reiterates the promise of blessing that was given to Abraham and to Isaac, and is now kind of explicitly and directly and personally given to Jacob himself, and from Jacob to all mankind. So God expressly comes to and meets with Jacob in his solitary, homeless, risky situation, and totally assures him of the covenant or promise, reminding Jacob of his inheritance to come and promising him safe conduct, safety on the journey, basically. And it really reminded me of the verses in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. And it says, God is faithful even when we're faithless. It says that if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. You know, our God is an incredible God of promises, even when we really don't deserve them. Honestly, I really don't think Jacob deserves a promise. I feel like he was dishonest, he was sneaky, he was a bit of a wuss. And if I'm really honest, when I look at my own heart, I'm not sure I'm really worthy of the goodness and grace of God or the promises that God has spoken over me either. I don't really think, that any of us are worthy. We are sinful. But God is so incredibly faithful to mankind, to us, and his love for us is overwhelmingly good, even though we don't deserve it. And in the promise to Jacob, there's an explicit promise to us too. When it talks about all mankind being blessed, that's us. It's not just Jacob's family tree and lineage, but it's ours too. The promise of Jesus coming and him making the new covenant with us and for us. You know, in the New Testament, Jesus actually explicitly talks about this vision, Jacob's vision, in John chapter 1, verse 51. He tells Nathanael, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. So when Jesus says that, he's talking about himself. He's saying, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God descending on me, Jesus. Jesus is declaring that he's God. Jesus is saying that he is the stairway of Bethel. He's the one who has come down from heaven to earth. And he's the one who's going to ascend back to heaven as the only God-given route for heaven's blessing. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, it says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. So Jesus is the ultimate mediator between God and humanity. So a mediator, I don't know if you know, Duncan said, what is a mediator? So I looked it up, actually. And it's someone who works with different groups of people and brings them together to restore peace, to restore relationship out of difficult and broken situations. And through his birth and incarnation, death and resurrection, Jesus is our mediator. He brings us back together with God and bridges the gap created by sin, providing the only way to the Father. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says it even clearer. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. God came to Jacob, and in the same way, Jesus came to earth to make a new covenant for us. And the promise for Jacob is also a promise for all mankind and makes a way for us to have a relationship with God. And I just want to ask today, what are you relying on to be right with God? What are you putting your hope in? Are you relying on being kind or generous or hardworking or doing your best? Or sometimes you hear this, I try to live my life not hurting anybody. Is that what you're relying on? Jesus says, no, I am the way, nothing else. So my third point is that God promises his presence and his protection to Jacob. And the stairway at Bethel we've seen represents God's active commitment to humanity. The promise of, and brings with it, the promise of God's presence in times of trouble, and a prophetic picture of Jesus Christ, who will come and now has come as the true bridge or way to heaven. You know, it's not like the Tower of Babel that men built. We looked at that earlier in our series in Genesis, that mankind tried to build all the way up to heaven. Actually, it's the opposite of Babel. This is Bethel. This is where God has built his route to us, and a route from heaven where the Lord Jesus comes to show us himself. God's promise to Jacob is so good. In verse 15, he says, I am with you, I will watch over you wherever you go, and I'll bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I've done what I promised for you. And that's the promise that gives Jacob the confidence to keep going through this difficult time and in other difficult situations, actually, that he faces in the rest of his life. When I was thinking and praying about this sermon, I felt God give me this prophetic encouragement. God wants to say that he sees you. He knows exactly your circumstances. He knows what you're going through. He knows your good days and he knows your bad days. He understands your ambitions and your hopes and your fears. He knows when you're lonely and he knows when you're happy. He knows when you're worried. God really knows you and sees you. And when you're in your darkest moments, he cares and he is there for you. And he says there are promises over your life that have been over your life since the day you were born. And some of these promises you can find in the Bible. They're written in my word. Promises that say that I will be with you, that I'll provide for you, that I'll give you peace, that I will strengthen you, that I'll fight for you, I'll forgive you, that I have plans for you, plans to give you a hope and a future. If you want to just be encouraged, just Google promises of God in the Bible. You know, that's seven. Some places they said there's 10. What are 40 promises? You know, there's lots of promises in his word. But God says over you, then there are other promises that God says, I've spoken over you when you've been listening to me. And God says those promises aren't null and void. Even when sometimes you look at your circumstances and it doesn't look good and it doesn't quite look like what you thought it was going to look like. God says over you what he said to Jacob. I am your God. I love you. I have good plans for you in difficult times and good times. But actually, especially in the difficult times, God says, I'm there for you. And that's the heart of this passage, really, that God promises that over our lives, that his love for you is constant. And God said, will you trust me when it looks bleak or difficult? Just as the verse says that if you're faithless, God is still going to be faithful. God has plans and purposes for your life. He's going to work those out. Sometimes even when we get things wrong, somehow he still weaves in to our sin his good purposes and his good plans into our life. And God says, trust me, will I not do it? Am I not always faithful? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Focus on him, the one who is faithful, and see what he can and he will do. So, also, this is really not a Mother's Day message, but you can kind of tell I'm thinking, where's Mother in this? You know, it's not really there, is he? Apart from Rebecca, who says, go. But you can really feel God's compassion and love for Jacob in this passage, and his care for Jacob. And there are emotions that are sometimes more attributed to women than men. So that's my very tenuous link to talk about Mother's Day today. And ladies in the room, first of all, I wanted to speak to you if you're not a woman. If you're not a mother, I wanted to speak to you. For some of you, a celebration like Mother's Day, we've already alluded to it, can be difficult, especially if not being a mother isn't your choice. And I wanted to gently remind you that God knows, loves, and understands exactly where you're at. And if God came to, kind of frankly, fairly rubbish Jacob, how much more does he come to you today to give you his abundant love and his encouragement and his care and his kindness? And also just to say to you, you know, the church is a richer and a more fruitful and a more beautiful place because you're here in the room with us. Right. To the mothers, I felt that God's saying that his heart for you is as a good mother's heart for their child. You know, as a mum, you look on your children and you want good things for them. And that is God's heart too for you and your family. He loves you as you love your children. And there's moments where our kids can be wonderful and amazing and adorable and they say and do beautiful things. And honestly, there are moments that are a bit more tricky and sometimes more painful, when they can be exasperating or annoying and ridiculous and silly and sometimes even worse. Or maybe that's just my children. No, I think it's more than my children. Sorry, Lauren, in the room. But God says, actually, you know, again, your children are his children. And he loves us and them with an everlasting love. And he says, ask me for my wisdom and my help as you raise and parent your children. As you nurture and train them and encourage them and love them, turn your eyes to the Lord and ask him for the help that you absolutely will need. And as we parent our children, let's love them. So let's love them with the love God gives us, with the grace God gives us, with God's forgiveness for us. You know, we're not perfect. I was not perfect when my children were young, and I'm still not perfect now. But God gives us forgiveness, and let's give our children God's forgiveness as well, and God's kindness. Also, I just want to say, can I have a show of hands? Who loves the Lord because their mum loved the Lord? There's quite a lot of people in the room. This morning when I was reading, I was just reading my normal psalm, and it was Psalm 86, verse 16. And it said, save me because I serve you just as my mother did. I just want that to be an encouragement to you, that your children will see that more than anything else you do. If you've got your eyes on God, if you're serving God, they will see that. Might be a journey still for them to come to a relationship with him, but just keep your eyes on God. So anyway, back to Jacob. My fourth point is that when God meets us, it requires a personal response from us. So knowing that God met him was not enough. Jacob needed that one final step that we all have to do to have a relationship with God. He needed to make a commitment that affected his future and his choices. And he needed to make that commitment intimately and personally, just for him. Couldn't rely on it being his grandfather's or his father's faith. It had to be his faith. So in Genesis 28, verse 20, Jacob makes a vow and he says, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I'm taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. Jacob is a funny character though, isn't he? You can see he's definitely on a journey. This is the very beginning of his journey in a relationship with God, don't you think? He really doesn't understand who God is yet. Even when he's met with God in such a powerful and amazing way, and he's been awestruck and amazed, thinks it's all great, his response is so transactional. Yeah, God, that was amazing. I loved it. God, yeah, fantastic. Right, so if you go with me and you give me food to eat and you give me clothes to wear and on the way, and if you take me home eventually, then yeah, you can be my God. Welcome, God. It's actually quite helpful to read Jacob's response, because actually sometimes aren't we a bit like that? We can have great moments with God one way, and you know, come back, oh, I really met with God in the service, that's fantastic. And then next minute we're thinking, how are we going to pay this bill? I am so worried about this other stuff, and we're struggling, and we get anxious, and life can be overwhelming. We're also definitely on a journey in our relationship to trust God. So, you know, I'm quite right that Jacob's a bit flaky. It helps me. So my fifth and final point is, what is God asking us to do today? So Jacob decides to tithe, and he sets up a little worship station with his pillow. Even so, as a response to God meeting him, and he says, and he declares, this is going to be my God now. This God is going to be my God now. So are there some physical acts of worship that we need to do as a sign that we're trusting God? Maybe you need to start tithing, or maybe you need to be more intentional about worshiping God. Maybe God's reminding you of somebody that you need to get alongside, or somebody you need to speak to, or somebody you need to encourage. Or maybe we all just need to put down our phones sometimes and create space for God. Do you need to make sure you're reading the Bible regularly and carving out a regular time to pray, to meet with God and to wait on Him? So what is our response to God today? I want to invite us to turn to Him now and to ask the Holy Spirit to come and to meet with us. I wonder if I can ask you all to stand up. And we're just going to pray. Firstly, I wanted to pray for all the women in the room. Dear Lord Jesus, would you bring your encouragement and your peace today to all the women in the room today? Would they know the joy of the Lord, and would that be their strength? I want to pray that there would be people, like known by each woman here, who would know that God loves them because of your influence in their lives. Or that the way these women speak and the way these women live would bring the presence of Jesus into every place that they go. And I want to pray for the mothers as well. Lord Jesus, I want to pray that you would really be with the mums today. Lord, I pray that when we don't know what to do with our children, whether they're young or grown-ups, that you would keep our eyes turned to you, Jesus. And we want to ask you to guide us and to help us. Lord, I pray that you would give your confidence to us to parent children gently and lovingly and with God's wisdom. Lord, I want to pray that you would help us to love our children as you love them. And Lord, I pray that our children would know you for themselves, to know Jesus as their Saviour, the way, the truth, and the life. And Lord, we want to pray that you would give every family represented here and their children your presence and your protection. And I want to pray for everybody else in the room. And do you know, maybe you're in a difficult situation like Jacob was. Maybe you're feeling uncertain and you don't know what the future is going to hold. So I want to pray for anyone feeling that uncertainty. Lord, we want to pray for people who are feeling that, Lord, that they would know your presence and protection. Lord, we want to ask that you would be with them. Lord, we want to pray that you would watch over every step they take. Lord, that they would be able to keep their eyes on you and to remember the promises that you've spoken over them and to hold on to them tightly, that they would be an encouragement in difficult times. And, you know, maybe today there's another group of people in the room. And I want to pray for you. Maybe you don't really know Jesus personally today. And I'd love to pray for you that you would have an encounter with God. I can't promise that it'll look like the Jacob encounter, but maybe. You know, because that's his heart. God longs to be in relationship with you. Lord Jesus, I want to pray that you would meet with anyone who's looking for you today. We want to ask that they would see you and meet with you, and know you really close to them, and to know that you love them. Lord, would you show them how to find out more about them, about you, Lord, and help them to know what it means to begin to trust in you. And amen. If you were in that final group, you might want to chat to the friend who brought you.